Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and get started then. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, July 10th, 2024, called to order at 12 noon. We are going to start with roll call, please.
Alyssa Dodge.
Here.
Andrew Christopher.
Here.
Carlos Lozano.
Here.
Courtney Marks.
Courtney said she'd be on in 15 minutes late.
Yes, perfect. Gary Miner.
I'm here.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
Jeffrey Elwan.
Present.
Helen Erickson. Jan Mulder. JJ Lamb.
Here.
Joel Ireland. Julie Rigoli.
Present.
Sandy Scoville.
Here.
Kathy Kubish. Peter Spear.
Here.
Ricky Riojas. Here. Savannah McDonald.
Here.
Steve Brady. Terry Majewski.
Here.
Tim Hagyard.
Here.
And Jan Mulder is here.
Thank you.
Okay, and Carla, Steve Grady was, remember he emailed saying he wouldn't be present. There's Helen.
I still can't hear you, Helen.
I'll write notes and put them up.
She shouted something.
Yeah.
Do we need you? We don't.
We don't. Okay. Bye. I'm sorry. So we have 14.
Okay. So should we note Helen is absent then? Joined then got off?
Yes.
She may or may not be back on. Okay. So anyone else? We just need to watch. Sorry, this is hard to get everyone organized here. Okay. Should we go ahead then?
All right. Yes.
So we have 13. No, we have 12, 15. Is that what you have?
I have 1, 2, 3.
I have 14.
I'm 14.
Yeah, 14. Okay, we'll watch for anyone else, I think, when Courtney joins. Okay, thank you, everyone. Item 2 is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 6/12/24. And could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
This is Ricky. I motion to approve as submitted.
Okay, thank you. And who will second?
Okay,
it's Kathy Kubish seconds. Okay, is there any discussion of those minutes? Okay, and just for those who aren't aware, even if you were not in attendance last time, you can vote to approve since others are voting to approve. So, okay, could you call roll then, please, on item 2?
Yes. Carla?
Did you hear?
Andrew Christopher.
I'm sorry, who was the second one?
Andrew Christopher.
Andrew?
Yes.
Hi.
Yeah.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Gary.
Who was that third one? Fourth one? Gary Miner?
Oh, hi.
Thank you.
Jeffrey Elwan?
Hi.
Jen Mulder?
Hi. And just heads up, I may have to leave sometime during the meeting.
Okay, let us know when you do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
JJ Lamb?
Here.
Or yes, you vote aye?
Yes. Sorry, I got this.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Kathy Kubich?
Here.
Do you vote aye?
Aye.
Ken Schofield?
Aye.
Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Larry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Peter Steer?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so I have 15-0.
Great, thank you. Okay, I'll move on to item 3. That's chairperson summary of current events. I have a happy event to announce that District 1 has appointed a new commissioner, and that is Mr. Gary Miner. And I spoke with Mr. Miner, last week, was it, Gary?
Yes.
And just a funny little story, we've known each other for decades, and then when we started emailing that he was a new member, it's like, I know that guy. And so we had a nice chance to catch up. And Gary, I forgot to mention to you, but I always like to ask new commissioners to briefly introduce themselves, tell a little bit about your background and how you got interested in the commission and so forth.
Okay, I was a career-long educator. I taught in the Amphitheater District for 40 years. I taught primarily, but the one I talk about the most is advanced placement U.S. history. And I was also a career football coach, did that the whole time as well. And I got interested in this because Rex Scott, the District 1 supervisor, is a close friend of mine. And he's the one who contacted me to see if I was interested in the opening on the commission. And so I said, yes, I am, and that's why I'm here today.
So, well, Gary, thank you. And we can't welcome him in person, but I hope that we'll be able to see him at an in-person meeting in the future. And, Gary, let us know after you hear all the stuff that we do what you'd like to be more involved in. Thank you. Okay. I don't have any other summary of current events at this moment, but I will. If I think of something, I'll mention it at an appropriate time. Okay. Item 4 is recently posted subcommittee legal action reports and minutes. You can access the posted minutes at that link. If you have any questions, let me know. As things are approved and uploaded and posted, then things change all the time. And so when an LAR is posted, when that LAR is approved at a subsequent meeting, then it becomes minutes. So you'll see it in the minutes area. So it's good to just play with that link and see what you can find. Item 5 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees. I don't have any at this time. Okay, item 6 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 6A is City of Tucson. I believe that Jody Brown is out this week, but Michael Taku, her colleague, will be reporting. Michael, are you there?
Yes, Madam Chair. Today on this item, I will be reporting with Dan, who is my supervisor right now. Dan took over from Corinne as the planning administrator. So I'll be reporting on the relocation of the properties, capstone relocation project, and Dan will report to you on Christopher Columbus Park and also discussion on the ADU, to say that the Capstone project went through West University for relocation to their new site. It was reviewed by West University on June 18, and the relocation proposal was recommended for approval. Capstone proceeded to go to class review subcommittee on June 20th. The same project, getting those properties from Euclid and Speedway to a new site, 926 to 30 North 2nd Avenue. Class review subcommittee also recommended approval for the relocation. The Director of Planning Development Services issued a letter approving the relocation of those properties to the new site. At this point in time, staff does not know exactly when the relocation is going to take place, but as soon as we are made aware, we are going to communicate that information. That is not the issue. And I will let that know the other two aspects.
Great. Thank you, Terry, and thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. Have a couple updates for the group. First one is following up on kind of what Jody had mentioned at the last meeting related to Christopher Columbus Park. We just wanted to let you know, City is continuing to work with the Arizona State Museum, Army Corps of Engineers, as well as SHPO and the county to address that right-of-way work at Christopher Columbus Park. So it's an ongoing thing. We'll continue to update you kind of as that progresses. The second item we did want to bring up as well is just related to some public outreach opportunities and some changes we're making to our zoning code that will be reflective of state housing bills. So Planning and Development Services will be hosting two virtual public meetings. I think some of you may have received the invite to this related to amendments to accessory dwelling units regulations. So they'll be held on Tuesday, July 23rd from noon to 1:30, and then again on a second meeting on Wednesday, July 24th from 5:30 to 7. This is, just to let everyone know, a direct response to House Bill 2720, which basically gives us until January 1st, 2025, to bring our codes in conformance with this adopted bill. There are kind of a number of differences between what we passed back in 2021 and what is in this bill, and the idea is really to, you know, make sure that we're in conformance with state law by the beginning of the year. So there's differences in the bill versus what we have related to the number that are allowed on a lot, related to how size is calculated, building height, parking, and setbacks, essentially. And so on, just to let you know, June 18th, Mayor and Council gave us direction to move forward on amendments to make sure that we're in conformance with state law. And then we're holding these meetings essentially to get feedback that'll help inform a formal proposal that we'll be bringing through the process for adoption.
Mm-hmm. Dan, before I call on Ken, I think Ken has a question. I wanted to point out that I just sent out some more information on those meetings to Carla to send out to commissioners. And if you don't already have that, you will soon, commissioners. But some time ago, Dan, several meetings ago when these bills passed, we had requested to Jody that we get a full report from you on your take on the effect of this on historic properties and so forth and on the historic zones. And so her response the last few meetings has been that you are still in meetings in PDSD. So can we get that something scheduled for the next meeting to get an analysis presented to the commission?
Yeah, Terry. I would encourage everyone to join the meetings that we're holding in a couple weeks. But we're happy to come back and discuss this further with you at a future meeting.
Yeah, because it's not the same opportunity as if we are just attending the meeting. But that's a great way to find out feedback. But we had asked for and expected a more targeted presentation for us. Okay?
Yeah, no, most definitely. Yes, we'll do so.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. Okay, thank you. Ken?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Dad. And essentially, I was going to ask the same question that Terry just did, but maybe on a little bit different level. Obviously, there are historic districts and all kinds of things around the state. Our zones are rather unique. But was there any discussion or anything that happened on the state level related to historic preservation that the city is aware of?
So basically, it's the law of what, you know, what is allowed. Historic districts, it does have, like some language related to kind of allowing for existing districts and existing things that they do. But you have to essentially be in conformance with the dimensional standards and things that they have provided within the law. So we're working closely with the city attorney's office to ensure that, we are in conformance with this, but also that we're being respectful of existing regulations that we have as well.
And I think we can say pretty simply that we don't see any changes in terms of the historic review process for ADUs. So right now,
correct,
any ADU has to go, if it's in an HPZ, it has to go through historic design review. This bill does not change that. Yeah. There are some other things that are changing, and that's what we'll go through at that community meeting, mm-hmm, but nothing will change in terms of the requirements for historic review.
Yeah, thanks, Gorn.
Okay, well, Just sort of a smaller question within that context. When an ADU goes in for approval, and I don't know how the regulations or how this is going to go, does it architecturally or have to be in sympathy with the other designs just as it would be with an historic property that was being changed, modified, or whatever? Will the ADU still have to meet those same requirements?
Yeah, we've had several ADUs actually go through design review in HPZs. I know at least one in Barrio Viejo, at least one in West University, I believe. So the same design guidelines that apply to any other new development apply to ADUs.
Okay. And is there an actual written statement on that? Or?
No, actually the code just says all new development in an HPZ goes through design review.
Oh,
so it's not specific to ADUs, but ADUs are considered new development, so they go through a design review.
It's all about words, isn't it? It's all about words.
It is. But yeah, so but as Dan said, we can maybe happy to discuss that more at the next meeting, kind of give an overview of the bills. You know, ADUs is the one that we're implementing in the short term that does have an impact on historic review. The other bill that relates to infill, which is the middle housing bill, that one we are not making the code changes in the near term, probably not starting those till early next year. So we're actually going to be going back to mayor and council to get further direction on that one. But we can give you an overview of those bills.
It would be helpful for me to understand the geography, especially the housing situation, not the ADUs, but the housing impact of greater density. If maybe the city could provide us a map of what historic resources are going to be impacted by that.
Well, I...
Because I talked with the parameter, geographic parameter. Is it a parameter?
Okay. Thanks, Ken. Jan, you had a question?
Yeah, just to clarify, Corin, it seems like what you're saying is the process will remain, but from what Dan was saying and what I've read, it's very likely the standards, development standards will change. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
So the big difference is the state bill will allow up to two ADUs per lot. Currently only one is allowed per lot. The new regulations also allow some more height, and reduce setbacks and reduce parking. Those are some of the bigger changes. But the process remains the same, that historic review is required.
Okay, any other questions for this item? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone right now. Okay, let's move on then to item 6B, which is Pima County Cultural Resources. Courtney?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. So with the new fiscal year, which started July 1st, an official notice was made to the public this morning of our transition from our departments to the new department named the Conservation Lands and Resources. And as discussed before, it brings together several units from Natural Resources, Parks and Recreation, such as the Natural Resources Division, which manages parks such as Colossal Cave and the historic Canoa Ranch and Tucson Mountain Park, and Rangeland Management, Trails, Environmental Education, and the Cultural Resources and Heritage Preservation group, which consists of Ian, Scott, Matabendra, and I. And the Conservation Lands and Resources Department is committed to honoring the vision of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan. And Dr. Chris Gade has been appointed as our new director, and she will be starting on July 23rd. And we also, our website for CLR has officially launched, and I can send the announcement after this meeting, as well as the website link, if you would like that.
That would be great. If you could send it to Carla, please, and she can distribute it. Thank you, Brittany.
Yes, will do. And I have some updates from Scott O'Mac on some of the projects that are currently in progress. The first one is Juan Santa Cruz Picnic Area in Tucson Mountain Park. The additional funding is now in place, and the second phase of rehabilitation of the historic CCC features, Civilian Conservation Corps features, are underway. Second one is on Teatro Carmen rehabilitation in the Barrio Histórico, Tucson. Phase one, the restoration of the Meyer Avenue facade, is complete. That's kind of old news. Phase two, they were to previously develop a patio area on the south of the building, and they're now going to replace a roof structure on the original 1915 theater. The design team, Poster Mirto McDonald and Stratford Artworks, are developing plans for the new roof. Thirdly, Fort Lowell Park Historic Preservation, in cooperation with the City of Tucson, the design firm Poster Mirto McDonald, has almost completed plans for the rehabilitation of the commissary and Donaldson House, and will be submitting for review to Plans Review Subcommittee soon. And finally, the Mission Garden Landscape Restoration. Pima County and Friends of Tucson's Birthplace have nearly completed the plans for the electrical and other physical improvements within and around the garden. The Friends of Tucson's Birthplace has completed the oral historical interviews that will inform landscape restoration efforts and the National Register nomination of the garden. And Desert Archaeology, Pima County's contractor, has begun developing a historic context for the National Register nomination, which is a requirement of the National Park Service grant. In other news, Desert Archaeology and Anthropological Research, LLC, are finishing up the final documents for the Rancho Seco Altar Valley inventories and ethnography that was part of the Altar Valley Management Plan. That was a survey and ethnographic study, and I'm hoping to, since SHPO has extended the deadline for CLG pass-through grants, they announced that at the conference, I'm hoping to get in another grant application in time to continue with that project. Currently, Desert Archaeology and Anthropological Research, they're working with cultural resources, staff from the Tana Autumn Nation, to come up with a map of autumn place names that we'll be able to look at for management purposes. Let's see. This will probably come up later. I'm sorry, Commissioner Scoville, do you have a question?
Yes. Excuse me. Last meeting, I think it was Ian that mentioned that the county has a preservation easement on the Atkins property. And I wonder what are the parameters or what does that actually mean? Because the Atkins property, as you know, is in serious shape. I'm trying to find some money and advocacy, and I'm going to be talking about it later in the meeting. But I'm just do not understand what the preservation easement that the county put on it as far as requirements or anything like that.
I don't think I have those parameters in front of me. I'll have to take a look at those. Sure. I haven't been studying those. Sure. And if I can have some time to get back to you on that, I will.
Oh, yes.
I know that Ian Milliken was asking for an update.
I've got time to get back with it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I just want to get in process with it so I understand that because we're really working away on the Atkins property.
Okay, it's a good question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And this will probably be mentioned later in an agenda item, but I just wanted to mention that our former director, Linda Mayro, was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Historic Preservation Conference in Prescott, as well as selected among many outstanding awardees, the James W. Garrison Heritage Award for 2024. So I just wanted to report that. I think that's all.
Yes. Any questions from anyone? I'm
Peter with a question.
Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I lost part of Courtney's discussion. My phone conked out. Courtney, you were talking about something in the Altar Valley.
Ah, yes. You might remember the Altar Valley management plan that the interdisciplinary staff has been working on, and we met with the cultural committee back in December, I believe it was, and one of the requests for the plan was to start putting together a map of the Altar Valley planning area of important places of autumn significance with autumn names. Place names. And so one of the things that I've been doing is working. We received a CLG pass-through grant from SHPO last year. So that was one of the tasks that I wrote in for desert archaeology and anthropological research to do some ethnographic work as well as inventory in Rancho Seco, and to work with Mr. Samuel Foyon and work on a map of place names in the Altar Valley.
Okay, Courtney, thanks. Do you have a copy of Mr. Winter's book on Tohono-O'odham place names?
Commissioner Steer, yes, I do. I have that whole volume and all of the documents that go with it that weren't that are electronic that go with it. I do.
That's fine, Courtney. That may be of some assistance. I'm not sure how much he covered in the Altar Valley, but okay. Well, yeah, thanks. I'm sorry I've lost you before. Sorry to make you repeat, but thanks very much.
No, this is great. And Harry Winters was the author of that volume, and they are meeting with him as well.
Oh, good. That's good. Good. Mm-hmm. Harry's a walking encyclopedia.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. I don't see any hands. All right. So then thank you, Courtney. Let's move on to item 6C, which is City of South Tucson. And I believe we have Joshua Lycia here to talk about a couple things with City of South Tucson.
Hi, everybody. Just want to.
Hi there.
Hi. Quick couple of updates here. Just wanted to let everybody know that we're starting the process to you know, get our ducks in a row for a general plan update. We're still quite some time away, but we're lining up our resources, and it starts with the grant application to the EPA for environmental and climate justice community change grant funds under Track 2. There's an opportunity there where it talks about, you know, heavy community engagement and governance. That'll allow us, you know, to go out to the community and, you know, seek their input on, you know, our current needs and, you know, any goals we want to establish for the future and some policies to help us get there. So with that being said, one of the things obviously I've noticed here is, you know, we don't, and in talking to this group here, is that we have no identified sites or cultural preservation areas that we have it documented anywhere. There's a lot of historical knowledge here, you know, from some folks that have been around in the community for so long, you know, but again, none of this stuff is documented in black and white or in a report of any sort at the city of South Tucson. So yeah, so we're getting this process started. You know, we're not there yet. It starts with this grant application. Hopefully we're successful. If we're successful, you know, we do have some partners already lined up that are wanting to work with us. So we're looking at almost anything and everything regarding local government, talking about, you know, parks and trails, you know, housing, displacement avoidance, cultural historic preservation, and a bunch of other things, transportation and what have you. So once we get a little closer to that, I'll be sure to give you guys another update. And obviously if there's an opportunity for some ideas or guidance from the group of other things we should consider, I certainly appreciate any help and guidance you all could provide. So that's the update there as it relates to cultural and historic preservation. Another item I have is very preliminary plans for the TNT market. You know, this it's just been a very brief mention, but I have spoken to the current property owner at the TNT market. He did us a big solid here recently and actually had the property fenced off because it was one of our properties where we had a lot of people camping out and, you know, doing all kinds of unfavorable things on site. So they put up the fence, and in further discussions with them, just touched base and said, hey, like, what are you planning on doing there? So two ideas that came out is to do some type of a little convenience market, little carnicerias type of store there. And then on the parking lot, he would have like to have some type of a food truck court, you know, set up there. Maybe then we'll look out to the city of Tucson and help us establish some guidelines, you know, since they recently went through the food court public process. But that's about it on my end as far as updates. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? Yeah, we're glad to hear from you and happy to have you on the meeting today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item 6D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, and I think we have Jorge Castillo here. Oh, hi, Courtney. Did you just join?
Yes, so sorry.
Okay, that's good. So what time, about 12:30?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Did you get that, Carla? For Courtney joining at 12:30?
I wrote it down. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Courtney. Okay, go ahead, Jorge.
Yes, thank you. So next month we do have just a reminder that Ian Sansom will be making a presentation on an update that's been requested by the commission on the planning for the Stone Avenue corridor north, and then he'll also touch briefly on the Norte Sur work as well. So that will be next month. And also, I followed up from some requests from the previous meeting. I provided some information to Commissioner Steer regarding Marianne Cleveland Way. And thank you, Commissioner Steer, for getting back to me with your comments. And I also provided some information to Commissioner Lozano regarding requests for some information, and I will be joining the Transportation Subcommittee later this month to discuss some of those items. So that's all I have for today.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Jorge?
Jorge, thanks again for sending those things out. This is Carlos Lozano. And just one thing that might not be able to wait until next month when we hear from Ian. You had mentioned that there was going to be a Section 106 review of the selected route, and a lot of these things are moving pretty quickly, and I was wondering if you knew if that had happened, and because if it has happened, I mean, there's no indication that, that the Historical Commission is an interested party in that. I wish that we were, but do you know anything about that?
Not specifically. I know there was some initial discussion about that with Jody, so maybe I'll touch base with Jody when she comes back and try to get you some information as soon as possible.
Yeah, especially if we're missing out on it, or does Mr. Taku know anything about it, or anyone else present?
Michael, do you know anything?
No, I don't.
Okay. Thank you.
Everything else can wait till next month. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else with a question for Jorge? Okay. If not, let's move on to item 7, which is Commission Subcommittee, Other Committee, Council, and Commission Status Reports. Item 7A is Plans Review Subcommittee. Michael, did you have anything additional to add about plans review other than that we have a meeting tomorrow?
No, we have a meeting tomorrow. We have a meeting tomorrow for plans review. And also just to report that Capstone Project is going to courtesy review at West University for the plan that they intend to develop on the new site that will be created by the located houses. And that will be on July 16th. And on July 5th, they are going to go to plans review also as a courtesy review for the same plan they are proposing to put on the vacated lot on their new campus locations. As always,
okay, thank you. Item 7B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard.
Yeah, hi. The Downtown Tucson Residents Council is on hiatus for the summer. The next meeting will be in September, so this month, next month, they're not having any meetings.
Okay. Thank you. Item 7C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady's not here. Helen or Jan, do you have anything you would like to say about that?
This is Jan. I don't think, I'm not aware of any updates. We haven't met for a while.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Oh, my goodness. What happened?
Don't know.
I don't know. Okay. So, no, with Jan, I agree. We have not met. There are a couple of things that are coming up, but we'll get back to next week, next month.
Okay, sounds good. Item 7D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Hi, thanks. This is Carlos. So I'll go through these really quick. First of all, thanks to Courtney Rose for letting us know that that our addition to the Pima County Transit-Oriented Development Code was passed by the Board of Supervisors. And then if, as long as I've got Courtney's attention, so the issue of I-11 has come up again, and we thought that the western route through Abra Valley was behind us, that nobody was going to, that they weren't going to do that. But it turns out that that still is on the table, and amazingly, Governor Hobbs is not taking a stand on this. I know that the Board of Supervisors, I guess, wrote to Governor Hobbs. So my question is, and just so everyone knows, the stance of the commission should be to adopt the eastern route and co-locate along I-10 with undergrounding, and just ignore the red herring about the flooding of a tunnel, because we would have to have an approved alternate route anyway, and which could be used in case of flooding. And interstates close down all the time. Look at I-80 through Colorado. I mean, it closes for snow all the time. So that's a red herring. But my question is, when it would be appropriate for us to make another recommendation on this. So the county, I guess, just went ahead and did it. I'm curious maybe if Commissioner Steer, you know, would think that we would wait until Tier 2 review or a public comment period has opened up. I mean, if anyone has any input on when would be the best time for the commission to make another comment on I-11.
Commissioner Lozano, thanks for the question. I will talk with our interim director and administration and find out when the best time would be.
Okay.
And I'll let you know.
Okay, great. And then on TEP, I just also wanted to thank Commissioner Haggard and also Commissioner Christopher for being available at the line siting meeting of the Arizona Corporation Committee Commission to make a comment on that. So thanks a lot for that. The latest, I guess, the update on that is that the court that they agree with Tucson that you can't have the overhead power lines through a scenic corridor, but we kind of knew that might happen, and that doesn't solve our problem because they're just going to site the line through a neighborhood or a high rental neighborhood, and so we were kind of, and that doesn't fix the issue. The one good thing from that ruling, I guess, is that they also ruled that the ACC does not have jurisdiction to determine whether the line should be above ground or below ground. So it's kind of, I guess it's back in TEP's lap now. And that's my understanding. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't, if anyone has a different understanding of that ruling, let me know. And I believe that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. Are there questions for Carlos?
Carlos, this is Ken. I just wanted to sort of add, and there was an article, I guess, commentary in the paper today. I think there's a lot of pressure going from Marana to have the I-11 be out through on the west side, because obviously, like the name of the game, there's probably all kinds of land speculation along that corridor. So there's going to be a lot of political push to have it over on that side. Everything always goes by land speculation. So I think that's who keeps lobbying this and having it still come back on focus again. And so anybody that's curious about I-11, they should read that guest commentary, which was obviously the party line for growth and development at all costs. And no mention of the Sorrel National Park in his editorial.
Thanks, okay. Ken. All right, thank you, Ken. Okay, let's move on then to item 7E, which is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Hi, yes. The commission actually didn't meet this month because of the holiday, but I looked through their materials from their last meeting, and the one that stood out to me that I wanted to share was just that the Pima County Board of Supervisors at the end of May voted to amend the Pima County zoning code to increase housing opportunities through transit-oriented development, which will incentivize the construction of new multifamily housing in established urban areas such as commercial properties with excess parking that are in proximity to public transit routes and stops. And what this means is that incentives will include offering reduced property setbacks as well as increasing allowable height for buildings, allowing developers to construct more vertical housing units. So that was in their materials from the previous meeting that I thought was relevant here. But, again, no meeting this month.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Savannah? Okay. Item 7F is Budget Subcommittee. I just wanted to say that, you know, the city-county fiscal year ends at the end of June. So we're still trying to wrap up last fiscal year's expenditures for the monies we received from the city and county. And it's been, kind of a roller coaster, but I appreciate Carla's help. And Carla, I've asked you several times, and I know you're working on it, is to get me an update on our funding for the current fiscal year that we're in so we get everything set up for that. And I think that we still have one outstanding person that has to get their stuff in the new accounting program, but we can touch base on that. I think the Arizona Historical Society still needs to get its stuff done, but okay. I'll follow up. And okay, item G, 7G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee. Commissioner Elwand or Commissioner Lamb, do you have an update?
Hi, this is JJ, and just like to report that the Outreach and Training Committee has got all the materials together to create a Tucson Pima County Historical Commission informational guide, and we will be meeting within the next couple of weeks to put that binder together, and it'll be available by our August commission meeting.
Okay, Helen, did you have a comment? You're on mute.
Yes, if I can be heard. I just wanted to commend the Outreach Committee on their fabulous work this spring. I mean, between the NAPC training and getting this information material collection together, I think they have absolutely surpassed themselves, and much to be congratulated.
Yes, I agree with that. And when I had talked to Commissioner Lamb, if things, you know, maybe we can try to get as many people in person to the August meeting so we can deliver those notebooks. And the notebooks, as far as I'm understanding, are yours to use during your term on the commission. There's something like that because of the cost of reproducing them. But we'll let you know. And if, we'll make some other plans for you to pick up your notebooks, if you're not able to attend that August meeting. Does that make sense? Cause we don't have any funds for shipping a large binder to you. It's kind of a living document for other things to be added and so forth. So, Helen, did you have any other comments or you just didn't lower your hand? You're on mute.
I just didn't lower my hand. I thought I had.
Oh, cool. Okay, thank you. But great work on Commissioner Lamb's part. And just so you know, she personally paid for those copies because we had to get it done by the end of the fiscal year and is being reimbursed. But that was a big lift. So we appreciate that. All right. Let's see. We are on 7H, Preservation Awards Subcommittee. I just wanted to say, you know, we had our successful event in May, and the chair of the Board of Supervisors, a staff member contacted me and providing them with all of the information on the winners because the chair of the Board of Supervisors wants to write to each person individually, which is lovely. And also I'll be distributing photos and digital versions of the certificates. It's just been hard to get that organized, but it's almost there. I have a Google Drive set up for them. So that's very exciting.
Exciting.
All right. Let's see. The last thing, 7I. Boy, this list is getting longer every time. Events Subcommittee. So the August event, which is to celebrate all things Tucson, it will be held on Saturday, August 17th. It's not on the actual day, which is August 20th, because it's better on weekend. It'll be at the Presidio Museum. Gates open approximately 6 p.m. I'll probably send out an email before the next meeting, asking for volunteers other than those of you who are already participating on the event subcommittee. It's a very nice event if you haven't been. I also wanted to mention, so we're celebrating the regular anniversary of the founding of the Presidio, which is basically the anniversary of the founding of Tucson, right? In in August, our yearly event, but this group is also meeting with some other partners to start thinking about the 250th anniversary, which is next year. Correct? Am I wrong? Or am I brain dead today? Yes, I think it's next year. So what we're doing as part of a group of calendar partners is participating in the design of a website where or bona fide organizations that deal with history and culture can put in events that fit in with their mission, but they're focused on celebrating the impact of the Presidio, mm-hmm. not just on Tucson, but all throughout Pima County. So it's very inclusive because it had a very big event or big impact on more than just a small area mm-hmm. That became Tucson, right? So all throughout Pima County and so forth. So I want to really thank Commissioners Riojas and Lamb for working so hard on this, and also Commissioner Kubisch. And so what I'm going to do is, when this is ready, send out to city and county folks just so they know what we're doing, because the commission mm-hmm. is a partner. We're always a partner on these anniversary celebrations for the Presidio, and I think it'll be a really great great thing. And if any of you have an organization that you're part of, you know, please, and we'll send you all a link to this too so you can see it eventually, and then encourage them to post an event, because we'd like a full calendar of events. It's not a calendar of all historical or heritage events in Tucson and Pima County. It's like a focused one leading up to the 250th, if that makes sense. But it's amazing we're pulling this off, but we really appreciate Commissioner Riojas' expertise in this area. So any questions on that? Oh, there's a hand up, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing who it is. Who is that?
It's Dan.
Ricky and Ken. Let's say Ken go first and then Ricky.
I just wanted to sort of update that I've been working with Visit Tucson and other organizations that want to make the context even larger, that the 2025 founding date would just be the start for a year celebration, because I tend to collect all kinds of archival things. I have all the promotional things, the guide and publicity for the 200th birthday. I even have one of the posters they sold. So, and back 50 years ago, they had this sort of blend in with the 200th birthday of the nation. So there's several of us out there would like to see this blend in to the 250th birthday. I put an asterisk, and we still have a representative democracy, but that we would be celebrating also the 250th anniversary of the nation, and how that sort of interconnected and overlapped what was coming out, what was going on at the time here versus in the East. So I just wanted to, and I did in May have an editorial guest commentary in the paper about this and preservation efforts also. So
right. No, that's great. And right now we're focusing, because we're a year earlier than the national celebration, right?
Right.
So basically we're going to do this lead up starting in August, September 2024, leading up and then beyond. It's going to go beyond. So, but we can't focus. It's all volunteer effort. And so we'll focus on the other stuff as, you know, we'll have a thing set up. So, anyway, Ricky, go ahead.
So if you have any photos, I think Terry will send out the link eventually, but if you have any photos of events, of cultural events that have happened in Tucson, whether those are like historical photos or from the last couple of years, we are looking for photos to help populate the website and just kind of show what type of events already exist within Tucson. And then as we get events for the calendar, we'll ask people to submit photos of their events so we can kind of start to have a collage going on. If you need my email, I think Terry can give it to you. But if you have any photos, please consider submitting them. We'd really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Ricky. Any other questions? Or we'll move on here because we've got a lot still to take care of. Okay, so let's go on to item 8, which is the land acknowledgement statement for the commission, Commissioner Lozano, and this was in your packet, by the way, and also in last month's packet.
Thanks, Terry. Yeah, just in case anybody didn't read the packet, I'll just go over the high points. So a land acknowledgement as sort of a spiritual practice, is it could be as old as mankind, but the practice of reading a land acknowledgement statement started maybe back in the 70s in the former British colonies overseas, and then it came over to Canada and then down to the United States. And it's catching on, and Pima County adopted a indigenous land acknowledgement statement a few years ago, so that's what this is about. Some of the pros and cons would be that a land acknowledgement statement doesn't really do anything, or it's more rooted in the past. And just deals with history and doesn't really deal with current relations. And I believe that criticism may be why Pima County chose to only mention the current two, you know, living existing tribes and not delve back into Holcomb or Apache or other tribes that have that inhabited this area in the past. That's my guess, but you'd have to, we'd have to really ask Adelita Grijalva or the tribal representatives that she worked on. So that's how Pima County's land acknowledgement came about, and I like it. It's very simple. If we were, and so Transportation Subcommittee adopted a land acknowledgement, pretty much based it right on Pima County's, so that we wouldn't have to consult with tribal representation, because the consultation had already been done. They had approved that text. And so that's what I'm suggesting, that we do something that's already been approved. But I do want to say that if we were to approve a land acknowledgement statement for TPCHC, that doesn't mean that we would be prevented from doing a more comprehensive, a deeper statement at public events, you know, such as an event, a award event or something like that. And in fact, I would be very interested in doing a more in-depth statement that might even include like a labor acknowledgement, which is something that's really progressive that very few people are doing. There's a labor acknowledgement at Pima Community College's website, which acknowledges the labor of for instance, the Chinese in building the railroads or indigenous people in building the missions. And anyway, so that's the idea. And I'm prepared to make a motion. If I did make a motion, would I include the statement in the motion, Terry?
Yeah, and is it one that you propose in the handout that we put?
It is in the handout, yeah.
Okay, which page of that is that, so that everyone can refer to that?
I don't have that in front of me. It would...
Would it basically be the Transportation Subcommittee one?
Exactly. And we would just substituting TPCHC for...
Okay, and that is on the page. This was in your packet last month and this month. It's the third page of that that report from Commissioner Lozano on the land acknowledgement statements, and it's the middle of that third page. And you might just reference that it is the same statement as the Transportation Subcommittee in your motion. We'll get the motion on the floor, then we'll discuss. Go ahead, Carlos.
Okay, here we go. So I move that TPCHC adopt an Indigenous Land Acknowledgement Statement. The statement was adopted by TPCHC Transportation Subcommittee in early 2024, and is essentially the same as the statement adopted by the Pima County Board of Supervisors in 2022. The statement was drafted by Supervisor Adelita Grijalva and Pascuayaki and Tohono O'odham representatives. Adoption of this particular land acknowledgement does not preclude TPCHC from using an expanded statement at TPCHC public events. For example, the expanded statement crafted with assistance of TPCHC Commissioner the late Joe Joaquin, or a statement that might include the Hohokam Apache or labor acknowledgement, et cetera. That's the end of the motion.
Okay, is there a second?
Ricky, I'll second.
Okay, so I've got Carlos moving, Ricky seconding. Is there discussion? Questions?
I just have a comment. So I think for when we're doing like the other events, when we have the Tucson Birthplace Celebration, that we should include those other tribes that existed, right? Like the Apache, who are no longer here, and the Tsavo Parid, who really did contribute to the landscape and Tucson, and yet they, like, colonization did successfully take them out, so they're not able to speak for themselves today.
No, I think that's a good point, and I know you had mentioned it earlier in after this went out with the May meeting. One thing we could do is talk on the event subcommittee meeting, and possibly that could go on the agenda, and Carlos could spearhead development of an expanded statement or proposed one. Do you think that would be a good idea with some other mentions? That would be very nice, I think.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah, that's and we're having another meeting. I think I insisted on a meeting, a break from a meeting on that next week and then the following week. So, okay. Is there any other question? Okay, Helen?
Yes, I would just like to say that I think Ricky's point about expanding the statement is going to be important. And so if we treat this as a first step, I think that is really the way we ought to go.
Yeah, and I think we are. And the way basically the multi, we honor the tribal nations, you know, I think it's general enough that we can add some other things, you know, definitely in later steps. Don't you think? And so, Carlos, this would be read at the beginning of each meeting.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I think an expanded statement would be great. I'm not an expert, so I think anybody with expertise is welcome to submit. You know, and it would depend from event to event. You know, how much time you want to give it to. I think, but it's wonderful, and I think that it can go a number of ways. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. If there's no further discussion, let us go ahead and do a roll call, please.
Okay. Alice Lindagi.
Alice.
Andrew Christopher.
Aye.
Carlos Lozano.
Aye.
Courtney Mark. Gary Miner?
Yep.
Jeffrey Elwan?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland? Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
What is a home warrant?
I'm sorry, who was that?
Steve Kubish.
Aye.
Yeah.
Ken Scoville.
Aye.
Peter Sear.
Aye.
Vicky Riojas. Aye. Savannah McDonald.
Savannah? Did Savannah respond?
Well, Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagar?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
We probably lost her. But I have.
Yes, yeah, see, I have 14, so did Alice ever respond?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. And then, did Courtney respond?
No,
Courtney.
She didn't.
So I, then that would make 15?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Oh, there's, no. All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Carlos. And then we'll put you on the agenda each month to read that.
Oh, okay. That would be great.
You have a nice voice. Okay. Item 9 is 2024 Arizona Statewide Preservation Conference. It was a couple weeks ago in Prescott, June 25th to 27th. I just want to briefly say it was a great conference. Pretty really good attendance, a lot of wonderful tribal and other sessions, and also that we're all really pleased that Linda won the top award and her. So basically, they give out so many awards, and then unbeknownst to anyone else, the governor's office picks someone to get the top award, which has been renamed for Jim Garrison, who was the previous SHPO, and it was really lovely to celebrate Linda. For her lifetime achievements. And then also I put in your packet, there was a document discussed at the conference that Commissioner Erickson provided. It was a document put together by Arizona Preservation Foundation and someone else or some legal folks on the standing to enforce preservation under Arizona law. And briefly, I was going to ask Helen to say a few words about it, but it's, you know, it really, and then I think Helen asked the question, does this apply to commissions and boards like this? And the feeling was that it was, but very little has ever stopped us in commenting on anything. So as you'll see, if you're a new commission member. So, Helen, go ahead.
Yes, I think this is an important statement. Specifically, having read through it and also not being a legal scholar, because it calls out the status of these groups as groups of taxpayers. And since we are not employed, but rather serving in our role as citizens, that seems to be the nub of the situation. Now, if that's the case, when we're talking, what really gave rise to this was the Solari Chapel issue and whether the commission had a role in speaking for that resource. I feel in the future it gives us additional standing dealing with Pima Community College, which is a similar situation, but also to reinforce the idea that the university must update their inventory of historic resources, because I don't think the Solari Chapel debacle would have occurred had they had an actual list of which resources were considered historic. And we could very well offer to help them with this. I don't think it would be an extended project, but something to think about in the future, because I think this white paper really supports our vision of ourselves as advocates for historic preservation across the board.
Right, and thank you, Helen, for bringing that to our attention, and that's why I shared it with you right away. Ricky, you were at the conference. Did you want to add anything?
No, I think it's all covered. It was nice to get to see everybody in person, and I think I like the talks. I do recommend that anybody who's able to go next year do go. They had a certified local government training, and this year was about compromise and how we really work with community to make sure projects get passed, and that was really valuable. So I'm also trying to work to hopefully get that partner with JJ and Helen to get that training here, because I think that would be really valuable for us as commissioners.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ricky. And I think that Courtney was also there. Were there any other commissioners there? I don't believe so this year. So, JJ, well, other than JJ, because JJ was getting copying done well, and we were talking at every last moment. Have you done it yet? Yeah. Of course JJ was there. So, sorry. Did you want to add anything, JJ?
Not really, but, you know, the conferences are always a great experience, and so I'm just going to reinforce what Ricky just said. Everyone really should, you know, try to attend.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Item 10 is the ASM permitting and policy updates. And this was a standing item for Ian Milliken from the county. And I don't see that Ian's here today. Courtney, did you know if he wanted to say anything or just keep it on for next month?
No updates this month. Well, we can keep it on for another month.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, item 11 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. Commissioner Scovel.
Yes, just a couple updates and a couple questions. It's come to some of the people in Fort Lauderdale, it's come to the attention that and let me just read this succinctly. It's come to our attention that while Fort Lauderdale District was rezoned to include the Atkins parcel, this was never changed on the zoning map. So the City of Tucson does not have it on their zoning map. So we want to make sure, and Jody's not here this week, that it gets on the city's map. And then also, and is there any past history, and this is for Terry and anybody else that might know, that the Atkins property desperately needs some emergency stabilization. Can the commission write a letter requesting this of the mayor and council, or would Jody do that, or what the procedures would be to ask, because this is a city-owned building, and they're supposed to be responsible for the historic resources. How do we put some more pressure on to say, you've got to find some stabilization money to actually make this building get saved? And another portion of this, there was a question about its listing, but the paperwork has been filed at the SHPO as far as its eligibility requirements. And I'm pretty certain it'll say yes, so we ought to know in the next couple of days. But, Terry, I'll just ask this of you. How do we proceed to ask for some emergency stabilization money?
Well, I think what we need to do is wait because I know that there is, you know, the county has an interest in this because of the easement on those properties, right?
Right.
Right. And I think Courtney needs to talk to Ian, and maybe Courtney, you and Ian talk to Jody. I mean, what efforts has her office been able to make? And we need your advice on the way to go with this. And otherwise, I think we vote to do a letter, you know, maybe finding out what the city and county's efforts are, and then say these are their efforts, but we think, you know, we've got to have funding or we'll lose this building. Because I know they're trying for the funding, correct?
Well,
I believe so.
She's been looking for funding, but I don't know if she had any specific sources or if there's something in process or that status at all. But, I mean, the Atkins property is beyond life support systems. One corner is collapsed and stabilized. Another corner is stabilized. With
no, I understand. I understand. So what information does she need? We're going to move ahead with something next month, but we need to find out what efforts have been attempted to get funding.
And
you know?
Courtney, I'd certainly be a conduit to know more sooner than the next meeting, because I think time is of the essence to get something going.
Thank you. I know that Ian Milliken has been working on this.
Yes, and I talked to him about this, some mm-hmm. other matters as well, so we need to get Ian's take. And I suggested to Ian that he call you, Ken, so you should get a hold of him and talk with him and get the facts straight on this, on what we're going to do. Okay,
and
I mean,
I don't know with the parameter, but it might be that the county has an easier access to some money right now to just get a roof, check the corners, just a few things to have it survive, because we have rains again this weekend.
Yeah. Okay, anything? Oh, Jan? You're on mute?
Yes. I had a question. Maybe Dan knows. It looks like the house that's at Paseo and Cushing, that I think is city owned is for sale.
Dan?
Jan, I'm not aware of that, but I can always look into it. I did raise my hand because I wanted to just let Ken know that we'll look into the rezoning mapping issue and get that fixed for you.
Great.
Okay, and let's then Tim, go ahead.
Tim.
Wait till Jan finishes. Jan?
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify when we looked at it, it was given a Cushing Street address, but it looks like it's the same building at that corner, which was identified as city-owned, and it does show up as being marketed right now, and I believe there's a sign out there. So I'm just curious what the city's plans are, if it's not sold or if they're putting any protections on it. Thank you.
Okay. Now go ahead, Tim. I'm very sorry.
If we're talking about the Adobe that's falling in on itself on Cushing in the Elysian Grove neighborhood, is that the one below El Menudo across from the TCC?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, so that's for sale. It appears that that's owned by a private individual. It's been within the family. It's $400,000, and it's about 11,000 square foot lot that Adobe sits on. So I don't know if there's another parcel next to that, but that's the status of that property.
Yeah, I saw that with the family in the listing, and I wasn't sure if that was just kind of prior to the city owning it, because I'm fairly certain it's the same building.
Yeah, I don't believe it's city owned, but it could be. I mean, that usually the city uses not they have their own real estate department they use to sell properties.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Thanks, Tim.
Okay, anyone else? Ken, do you have anything else?
No, that's fine for right now.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Item 12 is update on Pima Community College-owned historic motels on Drachman.
Hello again. I've been bugging Pima Community College again. July is a tough month to get people's attention. The request for qualifications for the development community is still ongoing. I think it's going to end at the end of July. I obviously will advocate for it to go further on. So I do not have any status as far as there've been any offers or anything. They've been pretty quiet on that. Sort of related to this is, does anybody out here on the commission know of people in the gem and mineral shell business? Because that would be a great property, because, you know, the gem and mineral shell generates so much business in a short period of time. If somebody was interested in rehabbing the buildings, that the buildings could be housing or accommodations during the gem and mineral, and then they could actually put some kind of temporary structures on the property, that would at least generate some income for the college and would carry the buildings along a little while longer. So if anybody has any connections within the gem show or all the big guns, you know, they're selling $1 million minerals, that might be a possible offer.
Thank you, Ken.
I had a comment, and thanks, Ken. But so, Terry, so we already have a motion to write a follow-up letter, and we've just been waiting for the right time to write the follow-up letter. So Transportation Subcommittee is meeting on the 24th this month, and we're going to draft, you know, one last letter, probably asking for a extension of the RFQ or whatever it is. And so we'll get that through to you, like, and I guess that'll need to go out by the end of the month, but we'll have a week to get it.
You'll let me know that, yeah.
For sure. So that's our plan, and that's pretty much all we've, I mean, we're getting down to the end on this thing, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, any final comments on that? Okay, item 13 is Plan Tucson update. Since Jody's not here, do we have Corin or Commissioner Erickson who wants to speak? Corin, are you still here?
I'm happy to provide an update on Plan Tucson for everyone if you'd like.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so Plan Tucson team, just kind of let you know where we're at. They wrapped up phase two public engagement back in June, and been working hard on incorporating all the feedback they've received from the working groups, the community forums, into the policies and, developing those. They are currently finalizing revisions to those policies, and they're planning, some planning office hours to receive feedback on those revised policies and the future growth scenario mapping, to have those discussions and get feedback. There will be, I believe it's six of these meetings are going to be sending out notification in the next week or so, and those will be held in person at varying hours and in varying places of throughout the city, different ward offices and things of that sort. So I can actually, if you go to the Plan Tucson page, it has the dates and times for those. And then additionally, kind of we're moving into phase three. So, they're also working on developing the plan. So pulling those policies and goals that have been developed by the community, into that plan, and hope to, and are looking to release the first draft of the updated general plan, late August. And then from there, there'll be more open houses and working groups to reconvene to provide input on that revised draft.
Okay, are there any questions? Helen?
Yes. Dan, this is actually for you. I had an extended conversation with Arizona First, and they are also very interested in making sure that we have deconstruction as, one of the options under sustainability, which is something, obviously, that the commission strongly supports as well. And I know that was in our recommendations. Did that gain wheels? Is it in there, in the hopper there somewhere?
I'm not entirely sure. There's currently working through all of the different policies. I would say that most of the stuff that was in the draft policies is still there in similar form. They just did a bunch of consolidation. But those policies will be out in the next few days. So we should be able to take a look and see whether or not it's been incorporated. It probably has. But also I don't have them in front of me right now. I will say, make sure that, if you don't mind, having Arizona First reach out to us, and we'll make sure that they're on our, all of our lists and email lists to make sure that they're informed as well of our office hours and future events that we're doing.
Okay, that sounds good. The other thing, just for the commission in general, I think once we get those revised drafts or whatever, our working group should probably reconvene for at least one meeting to go over that collectively. So we are a specifically convened group for a specific project, but if that is available, I don't know, Dan, can you make sure that, I might miss it if it's just posted somewhere, but if I send you my email, can you let me know so we could possibly reconstitute that group?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, we'll make sure. I mean, you've been a part of the working groups. They're definitely on our lists. So we'll make sure that you're informed and aware of both the policy, the new policies going out, and those office hours that we're doing.
Okay, thank you.
That'd be great. So Dan, for next month, do you want me to put your name in instead of Corin's for this update?
Yes, if you could do that, that'd be great.
Okay, I will do that. So anyone else on this item? I did want to mention to Carla really quickly that Courtney Marks texted me, and she has trouble. She can hear us, but no one can hear her. So she's been on the whole time, but I asked her to call in now instead of it, because we're almost done with the meeting. And so not to try to not waste, but spend extra time troubleshooting, that we'll try to have to help her next time. Okay.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So she's, are you on, Courtney? Oh, she's going to call in. Okay. We'll watch for another. There, I think she just joined. I see another number. Courtney, is that you with the number that ends in 49?
Yes, who is that? Me. I just joined. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Let's go into item 14, which is Pima Prosper's update. This is Courtney and Commissioner Lamb.
Yes. Do you want me to go first, Commissioner Lamb, or would you like to?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, the Pima Prosper's working group met on June 14th. Commissioner Lamb is the chair, and it was attended by Commissioners Riojas, Scoville, and Kubish, and guests were Pima County staff, me, and Mark Holden. And Mark Holden gave a presentation and background of comprehensive plans and Pima Prospers. And there was much discussion. I'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah, this is JJ, Commissioner Lamb. And we'll be setting up another meeting here probably in the next couple of weeks. We'll get that set up so we can continue that work in lively discussion.
Okay, thank you both very much. Item 15 is update on and discussion of city-county activities now that city and county have voted to retain a joint commission. So we'll first hear from City of Tucson. Do you have anything for us, Michael?
Madam Chair, we are still continuing to work with the county. There's no further update for today and provided, but just in the case we have.
Okay, thank you. Item 15 B is Pima County. How about you folks?
Yes. So we will be sending out a revised draft of the historic zoning code text amendment, and that will be an update to what was sent out in June. And following the last commission meeting, I believe that was June 12th, and we heard first impressions, including regarding the advisory boards. So one of the updates is that the advisory boards, along with a mechanism to establish new historic zones, will remain in the zoning code. And some other updates, mostly wording. And Metabendra Chenkakoti has been working with the Pima County attorneys, and we met with development services staff yesterday just to review to make sure everything was systematically being reviewed and up to date and ready to send out to stakeholders and the commission by tomorrow morning. I'm proposing that we have a stakeholder meeting on July 22nd. I wasn't able to do a doodle poll from my Pima County account. And then I would like to have a study session with the commission, if that's what's wanted still, the first week in August. So stay tuned.
Okay, so Courtney, probably the best thing to do is for you and I to talk, because we would need to do it as a regular meeting and have a quorum, and so I would need to be able to work with Carla on, the time and the date and so forth. But that would be great if we could do that. Okay, so Ken, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did. Hi, Courtney. Thank you very much. That was my major part of my question. So those two things are just going to be kept intact about the advisory boards and the zone option sometime in the future. Was there any change to the verbiage for the landmark status?
I don't think so. There were a couple of small updates. That was revised most recently.
what you're sending out, will that have all that information on it?
It'll have everything that we've revised up to date as of today, yes.
It would be helpful for those of us that are a little bit longer in the years to maybe if you could bold it or highlight what the original was or what the change was so that we can see the original verbiage and then what wording had been changed. Just because I said it earlier, it's all about the words. So it would be nice what was original and what was changed. That would be helpful.
I'm wondering if we have a copy of the original and just do a side-by-side, because when it's in the same document, that just gets difficult too, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, sometimes, but you know, you could just have highlighted in parentheses, this was the original verbiage. I don't know how much you've changed, but something so you can just see the original and then the change, because that would really clarify it better.
It's my understanding, I may be wrong, Mena Brendra may correct me, but I do believe the original is underneath the strikeout line.
Oh, that's great.
I believe it is. I'll confirm that with him.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions? Thank you so much, Courtney. Thanks for your question, Ken. Okay, item 16 is update on archaeological site damage at the border. Commissioner Steer, are you still on?
Nothing new.
Okay, nothing new. All right, so item 17 is Commissioner's summary of current events. Does anyone wish to say something about a current event?
This is Ken. Yesterday I was down at the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum, and they just about finished their mural. And it is really excellent. And I think everybody ought to just drive by when you're downtown next time. Make sure you go by and look at it. It's a three-panel mural on the history of transportation in Arizona and Tucson specifically. So it's something, if you haven't seen it, is just about finished. In fact, the artist was there doing a few touch-ups when I came by. So that was, and so was Ken Carroll. So that was a nice opportunity for me. But everybody ought to take a look. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. And we, Plant Review, looked at that a number of years ago, and really, really excellent work and presentation on that, even before they started it. So it's really worth seeing. Okay, anyone else?
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, this is Alice the Donkey, and I was somehow couldn't get unmuted on my phone. But I had a comment. I was trying to vote on the the land acknowledgement, but I did want to mention that the spelling of Chukchan is at Mission Garden. We checked with the language program to verify the correct spelling, because there's several spellings going out around, and that the preferred spelling that we're using, and that in consultation with the language center, is basically just a C-U-K and then the S with a dot under it, which is Chukchan, and the C-Skukchan is just the C, the S in front of that is just it's something you would do for, like, it's a very, very black or very good or very, you know, it's just, I'm not sure the linguistic term, but it's, it emphasizes whatever the quality is. And so we have dropped that at Mission Garden, are just using Chukchan, as I mentioned, and I can send that to you in an email, but I wanted to comment on that. And then I also wanted to make a comment that the planning of the Celebrate Tucson, it does seem to celebrate the impacts of colonialism and the fact that you're celebrating Tucson birthday. And so I'm hoping that in the future going forward, or even now, that we make statements or we have room for organizations such as the tribes here to continue to show their continued existence.
Right, thank
you. That was
just
a comment I wanted to share, and I wasn't able to share it, so I'm sorry.
No,
speaking out of turn.
No, you're not at all. So, Alice, we have been discussing that, and really I did not give a full representation. What we wanted to say is that this event offers the opportunity for reflection of what this impact was for everyone, in the past, present, and future, really. So, and over the years, we've had a lot more tribal involvement in the event, and It is a really good venue for a lot of things. And I know that a number of ODOM organizations we've reached out to them to participate as partners, and they have in the past. So, but anyway, we would welcome more of your feedback, and maybe, Ricky, we can get more in touch with her, with Alice. That would be great. So, and let me see your other comment. What was that again?
The spelling of Chukchon?
Right. And I was going to ask you, if you can't get all those diacritical marks to me in an email, please just write it out and take a picture of it and text.
I can take a photo if I can't do it.
Yeah, because I know that I have worked with trying to get that dot under things before, and it's hard, but we can do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, JJ.
No, I just wanted to say thank you, Alice, for your comments. And we have inserted some language into the website and the narrative that reflects the points that you made. And I think we all feel that needs to be stronger. And mm-hmm. So we look forward to doing that.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ricky.
Carrie, are you able to send Alice the link to the website and then she can look at it? I'd certainly welcome and am open to changes to the current verbiage that we have on the website. We really do want it to be as inclusive as possible and really acknowledge that there's so much in Tucson that's outside of the Presidio and outside of its founding.
Right. So I tell you what. Great. So I thought you were making further changes this morning when you were emailing me. So when you're ready, I can send around to Alice as well. Or you can just send. Do you have Alice's email? Do you want me to send it to you? You do. Just send it to Alice. Yeah.
Yeah. The feedback that I got this morning was mostly about pictures and not one use of the word we. So.
Yeah. So go ahead and email her, because I know we're trying to get it going for like a beta. And so and because Ricky's going out of town for a bit. So if you send it to Alice, that would be great. And you're incorporating some of the other comments and making great choices on those. So, okay. So anyway, Ken, did you have something?
Yes. I think a good way to maybe clarify this discussion about. And I've tried to not say a birthday anymore, more of a celebration term. But if you know anything of the archaeology at the Presidio site, Presidio Museum, is that we've got the foundation blocks for the tower there. But much deeper in the ground are all these different Native people pit houses. So we're on the same site, but it's obvious that Native people were here much longer than when we had European people come in. So I think if people think of it from an archaeological standpoint, I think that really helps you, that when we're standing on top celebrating the event, we've got all the longer heritage of Native people living along the Santa Cruz that were underneath right in those same spots. So I think you can make a nice extension from that, my thoughts.
Right, and we have not been using, we've been getting away from the term birthday and reminding people that we're not going with that term, and, you know, that's why it's the celebration, and, you know, and in this, so remember again, the annual celebration is different than this 250th thing we're trying to do, so that's a separate thing, but so the website is sort of a living thing, and so we can update it as we get more conversation going. But I think we've been really careful about the focus because we know how the commission feels about these things. So, okay, Helen, briefly, because we need to wrap up this meeting. We're way beyond where we should be.
I would like to actually ask Alice, because I know that one can do these things with keystrokes. If there is a way that she could explain how to do the S with a keystroke, or find somebody who could, then we would be able to use this consistently in a number of our situations, which I would really appreciate. I'm doing a presentation right now that could involve that. So this is a request to Alice for us.
Yes, I'll work on that. I don't want to take up more time in the meeting. I'll follow up. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alice. Because we tried to do this in the past, and I can't remember where the font is or what it is. So fonts are funny things. So we should get this sorted out. Okay, let's see. Any other commissioner summary? Blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. Okay, 18 is called to the audience. Carla, were any public comments received by the deadline?
No, none were received.
Okay. Item 19 is thoughts on inclusivity. Well, I think we had kind of a good discussion when we were talking about the event website on inclusivity. Is there another inclusivity moment people would like to share? And also the land acknowledgement is an inclusivity moment. So we're having many more of these moments than we ever had in the past. So that's, to me, that's good news. Just keeps it in front of us here. Okay, item 20 is schedule and future agenda items. Right now I have the ADU's update on the new state law and so forth, and we have the update by Ann Sampson. So we're probably pretty full up on major things, but we actually squeeze a lot in our time. So items, new agenda items should be emailed to me by no later than July 31st, 2024 to be considered for the August 14th, 2024 agenda. So please mark that on your calendar for the next meeting. So does anyone have something they want to share now, or they just want to email me? It's fine if you do. And city folks, I'm probably going to check with you on the wording of the items again that we're going to have for August. And so if there's nothing else, I really appreciate your time. Again, welcome to the new commissioner, Gary Miner. Hopefully he's not napping there. It's all been a long meeting. No, I'm teasing you, Gary. So anyway, thanks, everyone, and stay dry and hopefully cool. So, all right, take care, everyone. Bye. Good work.
Bye.
Oh, we're adjourned at 1:41. Thanks. Bye, everyone. Carla, are we on our usual schedule for the LAR?